Welcome to a new episode of The Spiel on Hamilton. I'm your host, Wendy Schneider. Today, I'll be stepping into my other role as coordinator of the Hamilton Jewish Film Festival. Joining me on this episode is my friend and fellow festival committee member, Helene Ortman, to talk about the excellent films that will be screened on March 15th and 16th at the Ancaster Memorial Arts Center. Helene, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. So, Helene, before we dive into the four films that we'll be showing at this year's festival, I wanted to take a moment to tell our listeners about the big changes they can expect to see this year. So the first change is that the festival this year is going to be a two-day rather than a three-day festival, and that we'll be showing four films rather than the usual six or seven that we've shown in the past. But the other big change can be found in the festival's themes this year. So, Helene, you said it beautifully in that article that you wrote for the Hamilton Jewish News a few months ago about this year's festival that explained what this year's themes were. Do you want to just go into that a little bit?
Well, I would say, Wendy, that the spotlight is really on the theme of family. And in every sort of aspect and element, the real realities of what family dynamics are, they are not artificial, they are not contrived. It's not decoration. What I think we see in our four films is the messiness of family behavior, the chaos of it, the exuberance and vitality and energy of it, and the emotionality, most first and foremost, of family dynamics. So I know you share with me, as do our committee members, that the films this year, as you said, are truly excellent. And for those people who want to delve further into what they experience as family members themselves, I think they will see themselves and their relatives in some way, shape, or form throughout all four.
So, as you said, all of them are related to family dynamics. And I feel that we were very intentional, the committee, this year, in wanting to choose films that were a little less dark than we've had in the past. And I think we really succeeded.
I would agree. And they are, though, in every way intense and aspirational and even inspirational.
Now, before we go into each film one by one, I did want to say one more thing. And that was to talk about the way the events of October 7th, 2023 have had a huge impact on how Israeli filmmakers and films of a Jewish nature, Jewish and Israeli, are seen on a global level. So there's been a steady attempt in film festivals around the world to ostracize Israeli filmmakers, artists, academics, even DJs. And there's been an attempt to boycott anything that has to do with Israel. Whereas in the past, you might have gone to a film festival and seen a film by an Israeli filmmaker or of a Jewish nature. Increasingly, that's no longer the case. So that's why I feel it's even more important for the community and friends of the community to come out and support our festival.
I couldn't agree with you more. And not to repeat what you've said, but plain and simple, we have four sensational films. People will be blown away. I have to say that as much as I've loved each and every film festival so far, Wendy, when I rewatched the films, and I would say I've watched each probably four times now, I was more excited than ever by the layering, the depth, the energy, the tension and the joyousness of each and every one of them. I just feel so excited to have people view these films.
I couldn't agree more, Helene. I had the same feeling when I was rewatching all the films to prepare for today's podcast. So I'm very excited to share this with the community. So let's dive into the first film. Our Sunday program, which starts at 2 p.m. on Sunday, March 15th, we've got two films that show very different portrayals of a Jewish mother. So I'll be talking about the first film, Ada, My Mother, the Architect, which is a film by Israeli filmmaker Yael Melamed. And she is the daughter of Ada. And this is a beautiful, a deeply moving and layered film that touched me on a personal level. It's a film that explores architecture, motherhood, ambition, and impossible choices. So her mother, Ada Carmi Melamed, is one of the world's most accomplished female architects, yet little known outside of Israel. This is an intimate portrait of Ada's professional achievements, her philosophy of architecture, but also it's a compelling personal story that explores Ada's relationship with her father, who was also a famous architect, her brother, also a famous architect, her husband, and her children. Now, Ada, you may not have heard of her, but you've probably heard of the magnificent building in Jerusalem, the Supreme Court building. And Ada and her brother were the designers, the architects behind that building. So you're going to see a lot of images of that building and others that she's designed in Israel. And what the film does so beautifully, it uses time-lapse photography to show how light moves in and out of these magnificent spaces. And it's just mesmerizing. This film took me back to my early years in Israel, when I had a lot of familiarity with the architecture of the country. And I think anyone who has spent time in Israel will be really quite mesmerized by the architecture in this film. But not just that, this film is so layered because it explores this woman's personality, the relationship with her daughter. They're very, very close. And the years that she spent in New York and her decision to move back to Israel when she wasn't able to get tenure at Columbia University where she was teaching. Helene, did you want to say anything about the film?
Yeah, I'd like to make a few comments, Wendy, picking up on where you've left off. I've only been to Israel once, and it was a long, long time ago, and my trip then was not about architecture. So regrettably, I did not, and I have not been since, to Israel to see the buildings that Ada with her brother, family members designed. So from that aspect, for me, the film was like a grand sweep, a travelogue of Israel. And I have to say that it's just highly motivating in terms of wanting to get there for a million other reasons, but even for this one alone, to see the design, the architecture. As you said, she's considered the madame of Israeli architecture, really in a male-dominated industry. She stands out internationally in terms of her talent. As well, you talked about the time-lapse photography, and it's a masterclass, this film, in showing the heart of buildings and the way Ada talks about that, the way she talks about her instrument, the pencil. I found that absolutely riveting and moving. Unlike the students that she teaches who will use computer-aided design, Ada is no part of that. And it's all about the pencil coming out of herself, and whether the pencil drives her or she drives the pencil, we don't really know. But that's the art and talent that she's involved with. And the way she talks about light and shade. So as I've said, I feel it's like a masterclass in design. And people with any kind of art sensibility, they will be mesmerized in and of that, just seeing that. Now, to get to the emotion in the heart of the film itself, there are two elements I wanted to mention. Ada herself, who in the course of the film says, "I had a peculiar life." And she says about herself, "I'm not that much of a Jewish mother." So when you talk about this dichotomy between the Ada, the female, the mother, the maternal we see in that film, and then the one we're going to see in Once Upon My Mother, we couldn't have more, a more wonderful, interesting, fascinating portrayal of opposites. So Ada is not that typical, stereotypical Jewish mother. And the film, in that way, I found to be incredibly poignant. That story of Ada, who, because of not getting tenure in New York, leaves for Israel when her daughter Yael is 14 years old, I couldn't help but think, at a most vulnerable time for a young person, her daughter, Yael, Ada leaves New York, goes to Israel, and is there basically for the rest of her life. It's the father and the and Yael and a brother, I believe.
She has two siblings.
Two siblings, yeah. who come to Israel every summer, and that is how they reconnect summer by summer. And otherwise, Ada is more or less on her own as a female, as I said, in this male-dominated industry. Yes, she has her brother, and she's got relatives, but she's a singular individual, and that comes out very strongly in the film. And I think we feel a degree of empathy for that, and her just striking out on her own and being the resolute, strong individual that she is. So the film grew on me. The more I watched it, the more I loved it, the more I did see that layering, Wendy, that you talked about.
Yes. And so a couple more things about this film. I was listening to an interview the other day with Yael Melamed, the filmmaker. And she said that this film was her way of talking about Israel as well, because this film is completely unrelated to the political situation in Israel, except it's not. So it was made before October 7th. It doesn't touch on the conflict or anything. In fact, it really goes back to Israel's earliest days. Her grandfather built many, many of the buildings we know so well in Tel Aviv, the Bauhaus architecture. It takes you back to Israel's pioneering days when it was a very idealistic place and the architects were working, you know, not for themselves, but for the country to create a character of a country. So that part was very nostalgic for me. So Yael talked about how her family had an incredible impact on the architecture of the country as a whole. And it's not about right or wrong or good or bad, but it does touch on the dreams of Israel's pioneer generation. So at the very end of the film, though, we do get Yael and her mom talking about Israel of today. And Yael currently lives in the States. Her mom still lives in Israel. And they I don't want to give it away, but it's a very powerful closing conversation when she asks her mother, would you like your family, because there's three kids, I don't think any of them are living in Israel right now, would you like us to come back? And she actually said no. So I'll let people watch that in the film itself. Now, we have a very special guest coming to our festival on Sunday. Her name is Michal Gilboa. She's an Israeli psychotherapist who's based in Toronto. We were looking for a speaker, somebody who could kind of discuss and compare the two mother images in these two films that we're showing on Sunday. I got in touch with her and I sent her links to the films, and she absolutely fell madly in love with both films. And she said to me, you know, I would really love to interview Yael Melamed to do a Q&A with her. So we reached out to Yael and we asked her if she would be available to do a pre-recorded Q&A after the first film. And she said yes. Actually, the reason she couldn't come in person, because she does come to Toronto, she said quite often, the reason she couldn't come in person is because another film of hers has been nominated for an Academy Award. So on that day, March 15th, she'll actually be at the Oscars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because she's done a short film that's been nominated. So we will, immediately following the Ada, My Mother, the Architect, we'll be showing a pre-recorded Q&A between Michal Gilboa and Yael Melamed. And then Michal will do an in-person Q&A with me after the second film, where she'll talk about the two films together. So I just wanted to let people know that that's happening. And now, Helene, why don't you go ahead and introduce Once Upon My Mother?
Okay, so, and I will be brief, Wendy, on this so that we can get into the commentary of the film. So it is set in France in the 1960s. And it is a poignant film, but with high comedy and high drama at the same time. It tells the story of lawyer, journalist, and broadcaster Roland Perez, who happened to be the sixth child in a Moroccan Jewish family. Roland was born with a club foot, and his mother, Esther, shows unconditional love and determination in wanting to secure what she determines to be a fabulous life for her son. And she promises, she pledges to him as a baby that she will make that happen for him, nothing short of a miracle. She pleads, Esther does, she pushes and prays her way through his childhood, through his adolescence, and even into adulthood to ensure that she can indeed create that miracle for him. And she never, ever wavers in that determination. It's an extraordinary story. Directed by French-Canadian Ken Scott. So we've got a Canada connection there. And it is an absolutely inspirational story of a mother's love. And there's a wonderful movie backdrop, I should say musical backdrop, and that is by the French singer Sylvie Vartan. And it's completely absorbing and night and day different from the film we have just talked about, Ada.
Absolutely. The main character, Esther Perez, this character is played by this absolutely marvelous actress whose name is Leila Bekhti. And she's just, you cannot take her eyes off her. Every time, every moment, every second she's on the screen, you cannot take your eyes off her. She's so full of charm and charisma and devotion and intensity and intense mother's love. So for me, one of the reasons I love this film so much was because of this actress.
She is a tour de force to watch. The aging process throughout the film is absolutely stunning. It's worthwhile to note the French title of the film. So Once Upon My Mother in English and Ma Mère Dieu et Sylvie Vartan in French. And the reason I mention that is because that element of Dieu, of God, of spirituality, of divinity plays throughout this high comedy. Esther prays and prays and prays for the miracle, and she prays to the divine, and everybody gets involved with that in the family. There's such humor in it. At the same time, she talks about she's on a mission. So it's almost with a military precision determination, which I just want to hold in abeyance for when we talk about the road between us. So keep that in mind. But she is the epitome of maternal. And in fact, at the very end of the film, the son, her son Roland, talks about a reference to an English writer who said, since God couldn't be everywhere, he had to invent mothers. And so he invented this mother of biblical, historic proportion, Esther. The other thing I want to mention is the unheralded, quiet role of Esther's husband. Now, in another film festival, we could talk about that. But the reason I want to bring him to the fore is, again, in a few minutes, we'll be talking about the father figure in The Road Between Us. And I don't want us to forget about the father figure here. He is such a wonderful counterpoint to the highly charismatic Esther. In later life, when Roland goes for therapy, the therapist actually asks him about early memories of his father, and he realizes he has none. And it's absolutely astonishing. And that's not to say he didn't play an important part in his son's life. He did. But Esther was so absolutely overpowering that the audience, as well as the family, could only concentrate on her. So at the very end of the movie, Roland establishes a long-lost connection with his father. It happens to be 6 months before his father passes away. And the father at that point says to him so lovingly. I loved your wife. Roland's wife died of cancer. So the father says, I loved your wife. And he tells his son that he knows what it was like for children to lose their mother. He himself lost his mother when he was 4 years old. So this unbelievable compassion and empathy and love is declared by the father at the end of this movie. And so father and son are able to connect in a way that they didn't their whole life long. And I just felt that that too was so worthy of acknowledgement and honoring in this extraordinary film.
Well, what a beautiful point, Helene. Thank you for bringing that up. Before we move into the Monday program, I want to say one more thing about the Sunday. Between the two films, we have a reception at 4:15. It's a reception that is made possible by the generosity of our sponsors. We did get a lot of sponsors for this year's festival, and that's why we were able to keep the ticket prices much more reasonably priced than they were last year, for instance. So I think people are going to get great value, for especially those who bought a festival pass. They're paying basically $10 a film. So the reception is open to everyone. But I would really recommend, since the program starts at 2 p.m., that people have themselves a good lunch, because it's going to be a long afternoon and evening. So it'll be a light reception, but please come with your bellies full. And then, of course, you'll be welcome to munch on party sandwiches and cheese and crackers at the reception. Now, during the reception, we've invited a local Israeli pianist, Nadav Greenhut, who performed last year, if you remember, that wonderful performance that we had at our closing night last year when we showed the documentary We Will Dance Again. Nadav reached out to me a couple of weeks ago following the death of the wonderful Israeli musician Mati Kaspi, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. And Nadav reached out to me about writing something for the Hamilton Jewish News about Mati Kaspi. And I, being a big fan myself, said, of course, that would be wonderful. And then I thought that wouldn't it be great if Nadav is playing piano in the background during our reception, because the Ancaster Memorial Arts Center has a beautiful piano right there in the lower lobby where the reception area is. So Nadav is going to be playing Mati Kaspi music during the reception as background. So I think that'll be another extra element of the festival that will really be beautiful and will really give people great pleasure, especially those who are familiar with the artist. So just wanted to mention that. So let's dive into now day two. Monday, March 16th, our opening show at 5 p.m. is the Argentinian film Mazel Tov. Now, this is a comedy, but it's more than a comedy because it really hits home. It's about the relationship among siblings. The main character is an Argentinian living in the States who's coming home for a family bar mitzvah and a family wedding. And then he gets word right before he's about to board the plane that his father just died. So he comes home into a situation that's fraught with these sibling issues and conflict. His sister, who's pregnant and about to get married, it was her wedding. She's determined to go ahead with the wedding and not cancel it, even though they're technically in the period of mourning. And I think this is a movie that everyone, like you said earlier, Helene, everyone is going to recognize themselves in these relationships among the siblings. There's three brothers and a sister. And there's the oldest brother who has some resentment issues towards his younger brother who's living in the States. All of this gets revealed as the story unfolds. Now, what made this movie especially compelling to me was that I happened to work for an Argentinian. And I'm sure most of you, most of our listeners are familiar with our Federation CEO, Gustavo Rimberg, much beloved CEO who we recently heard will be leaving our community, unfortunately. But Gustavo is such a quintessential Argentinian, and I'm watching the main character in this film and falling in love with him because he reminds me of Gustavo. So there's that. I think this whole Argentinian connection is very special. So this film is by turns tender and sharply funny, and it captures the family's eccentricities and stubborn loyalties. But in the end, it reveals a deeper, enduring love and the courage to forgive. And it's a universal, even though it's not about an Argentinian Jewish family, it's a universal story that all of us, I think, will be able to relate to. Helene, anything else you want to say about this film?
Well, I don't even know where to start with it because it is so, it's so sparkling and so funny and it's so real and dynamic. I just love the energy throughout in the film. So again, from that cultural aspect, Wendy, listening to Spanish, like my connection would be that it just so happens I grew up in a house where while I thought, and we all did, that we were hearing Spanish through my father, my uncle, aunts, and grandmother, it turned out to be Ladino. So I don't know. It took me back to my childhood in our house. And just the hearing language, and in this case, Spanish, the interactions around the table, that was often the case for us. For us, a small family, but it always seemed loud. It always seemed big. And that's what I saw here. So there's such an exuberance that endeared itself to me from beginning to end. There are certain scenes at the wedding, high comedy, shtick that goes on, scenes at the bat mitzvah, scenes at the end at the Yom Kippur table. So I won't give more away around that. Loved it. Again, talking about male versus female, maternal versus paternal. Even though we have a deceased father that the protagonist comes from the States to Buenos Aires to help bury, that father plays such a very strong role and presence in the movie in terms of, I guess, really enabling, facilitating from behind the grave, the ability for his children to talk to each other, to communicate, to connect, to rekindle the strong love they have for each other. So I love that aspect in here of that strong male figure, and as well the uncle, who sort of begins as the villain, but turns out to be a wonderful, important, nurturing individual for the family. There's such poignancy throughout the movie. So, again, it's just a breath of fresh air.
So now, Helene, why don't you talk about our closing film, which is The Road Between Us, beginning at 7:30 p.m. on Monday, March 16th.
So, Wendy, The Road Between Us is just an absolute must-see film. As many of the audience will know, it won a People's Choice Award at the recent TIFF Awards for Best Documentary. It was just a couple of weeks ago in The Spectator, for those people who are very local. I read that The Road Between Us won a Cinema for Peace Award. So it continues to be a recognized award-winning film. In short, it takes place during, it starts during the beginning moments of the October 7th terrorist attack. It is a family of four who are locked into their safe room, and almost immediately they make contact through the phone to the father. The father being a retired Israeli general, Noam Tibon. And the story of The Road Between Us is Noam's determination and journey with his wife to get from Tel Aviv to Nahal Oz, which is on the very border of Gaza. So the story is one of absolute love, determination, as I mentioned, the expertise and know-how of the retired Israeli general to get to and not only save and rescue his son, daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren, but as it turns out, the entire community, I believe some 400 people of that particular kibbutz. It is a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour account of what it takes to make it happen against all odds.
And particularly compelling in that film is that he's on his way to save his son and he keeps getting sidetracked by helping people along the way, the survivors of the Nova massacre, wounded soldiers, and he keeps picking up people, turning back, taking them to safety, continuing on his way. So not only was his love for his family driving him, but his love for his country and his compassion for everyone involved, that everyone who was a victim that day, kept turning him back because he couldn't just drive by these people and leave them with his single-minded vision. His single-minded vision notwithstanding, he turned back a number of times to help others. And that's also what's incredible about this story.
It's absolutely inspirational in that way. And one of the points he made towards the end of the movie was when he said, "I didn't leave anyone behind." And that's such a point, Wendy, I feel, of such humanity and such nobility and such strength. I absolutely loved it. And, you know, I thought a lot about this film and Noam himself. We're talking about a real life hero. This is not some action figure, special effects type film. This couldn't be grittier. It couldn't be more tense. The audience lives vicariously, as I said, minute by minute, hour by hour. And the clock actually ticks down throughout the entire film. And Noam takes this on and he uses the term mission. You know, earlier on in this podcast, I mentioned the word mission because that's the way Esther took on creating a fabulous life for her son. And that's just the way this noble warrior takes on this mission for his family and, as you say, for his country. One thing that touched me deeply about Noam, you know, you see him in t-shirt and jeans, a pistol by his side. And I couldn't help think, but what an incredible feminist Noam is at the same time. And I think that's worthy of comment in this narrative, that there's no question but that he's a team with his wife, Golly. And it's the two of them who set out. And they work together in an extraordinary way, oftentimes unspoken language, because they know what has to be done and they do it and they complement each other. Language that Noam uses when he talks about his family, his son, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren, he says, "This is my whole world." He says, "This is the instinct of a father, of a grandfather." So here for me, we have this incredible sort of not conflicting, but this dynamic that coexists in the retired ex-military general. And at the same time, he talks about his heart, his instinct, and his whole world. And to me, there was something so incredibly touching that creates this full human being that Noam is. And for me, just a high point of the film.
Absolutely. And I think a very meaningful way to close out our festival. I did make contact with Barry Averich, who is the director of this film, the Canadian director. And Barry did a pre-recorded introduction to the film, which we'll be showing right before the movie. So I think that wraps it up, Helene. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think we've done a great job of letting people know what they can expect to see. And let me just review once again the schedule for everybody. It's the Hamilton Jewish Film Festival at the Ancaster Memorial Arts Center on Sunday and Monday, March 15th and 16th. And you can find out more information at jewishhamilton.org/filmfestival. So I really hope you'll join us. Helene, any final words?
Oh, just that this is an extraordinary festival. I think, Wendy, in terms of the changes that you've facilitated, that's as a result, I believe, in part of feedback that we've gotten from the questionnaires and surveys of the past. So the community offers us information and feedback, and the committee listens to that. The four films are each and every one absolutely excellent. And I think people will be absolutely delighted by the offerings this year.
I agree. Thanks so much for joining me today, Helene.
Thank you.
And see everybody at the festival.
The Spiel on Hamilton podcast is made possible through the generosity of the Alan and Millie Gould Family Foundation. The Spiel on Hamilton is a production of the Hamilton Jewish News, hosted and produced by me, Wendy Schneider, and edited by Colin Van Hattem. If you have any comments, questions, or stories you would like to hear on the show, please email wschneider@jewishhamilton.org. We would love to hear from you. Make sure to subscribe to The Spiel on Hamilton on your favorite podcast platform to learn more about our wonderful community.